Our opening hymn is Jesus, Refuge of the Weary. Please stand. Our service continues in the bottom of page 2. And we conduct this service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, we may approach the throne to find grace to help in time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Thank you.
We pray, Almighty God, we confess that we deserve to be punished for our evil deeds, but we ask you graciously to cleanse us from all sin and to comfort us with your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Passion history of our Lord Jesus Christ, the guiltless for the guilty. But the Jews were the more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he had hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood there and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for before that they had been at enmity with each other. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the ruler, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing worthy of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." Now, at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished, whomever they requested, and they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow insurrectionists. He had been thrown into prison for a certain insurrection made in that city, for murder. And the multitude cried aloud and began to ask Pilate to do just as he had always done for them, for it was necessary for him to release one of them at the feast. Therefore, when they had gathered together, the governor Pilate answered them, saying, "You have a custom, that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Whom do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus is called the Christ, who is called the Christ? Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders stirred up the crowd and persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" Then they all cried out at once, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas. Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. He said to them, "What then do you want me to do with Jesus, who is called the Christ, him who you call the King of the Jews?" And they shouted, "Let him be crucified." They cried out again, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then the governor said to them a third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent. They cried out more exceedingly, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. Let him be crucified. Crucify him. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man, just person. You see to it. All the people answered and said, His blood be on us and on our children. And wanting to gratify the crowd, Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released Barabbas to them, the one they requested, who for insurrection and murder had been thrown into prison.
Please stand. We join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, along with Luther's explanation to it. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he has risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. We continue with the next hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace and peace be unto you from our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So far, our text. Please be seated. In the name of our good shepherd, Jesus, who laid down his life for us, the sheep, their fellow redeemed. When we hear or think of the 23rd Psalm, we are reminded of our sheep-like characteristics and tendencies, as well as Jesus' loving, shepherding care for us. Well, our sinful pride doesn't like to hear that we are totally helpless and hopeless without the Lord. This is a fact of life. As the Spirit of God then helps us to acknowledge this, the poetic message that's found in Psalm 23 is a source of great comfort and hope. Under the tender, loving care of the Lord, who is the chief shepherd of our souls, we who are sheep of his pasture experience a life of peace, contentment, and security. The spirit of tranquility and serenity is realized when we look to the Lord in faith and we follow his guide and leading through the troubled problems of this life. The prophet Isaiah helps us in this regard through the message of our text as it reveals our sheep-like ways and Jesus' shepherding care. In the first part of our brief text, Isaiah directs our attention to one aspect of sheep, that they have a tendency of straying. I can say this from personal experience when taking care of sheep. Years ago, I worked on a farm in South Dakota and had to take care of sheep. My, I'd have to say they're some of the dumbest animals I've ever encountered. Just one example, you know, we had them all fenced in and they would go along the fence and one of the sheep would find a hole in the fence and you'd go out and the rest would follow. And no matter how hard I tried to get them back into the fence through that hole, they would not go back in. Yeah, they have a straying tendencies. Quite often, sheep can be found wandering off and leaving behind the care of their shepherd. Following the impulses and whims, they find themselves in pastures eating noxious weeds or drinking from polluted potholes. And then when they wander off from the wonderful enclosure and the care of their shepherd, they're vulnerable to predatory animals. Sheep who have gone astray from their shepherd simply cannot survive on their own. The similarities between sheep and sinful mankind are very striking. Human waywardness is evidenced by the following sentiment. I want to decide for myself what is right and what is wrong. I want to do what I choose to do if I think it will make me happy. Whenever we go on our way following our impulses and inclinations, most often we have chosen a path that takes us away from our Lord and his righteous paths. And why is this? It's because having a natural, inborn, sinful nature, the Spirit of God is not there to govern us, at least our sinful nature. Instead of our straying footsteps taking us down the road of happiness, We stumble and trip and fall into a life of heartache, grief, and destruction. Isaiah was undoubtedly thinking of the past history of the Israelites when he said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." The Lord had especially chosen the Jews to be his very own people, his flock of his pasture. With his almighty hand, he took care of all their needs, and through his revealed word, he called this people out of the world to be a separate people, to follow him in faith and love. Yet in spite of this loving shepherding care, down through the years, the children of Israel repeatedly strayed far and wide away from the Lord. Shortly after God miraculously delivered the children of Israel from their captivity in Egypt, they can be found on 10 occasions murmuring and complaining against the Lord. In the book of the Psalms, the Lord characterized his chosen people sojourn in the wilderness. "For 40 years, I was grieved with that generation and said, 'It is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways.'" In the period of the kings that followed, this is the way they could be characterized, found in these words of Scripture. "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." And during the period of the kings, they could be found repeatedly following the worldly and idolatrous ways of the pagans that were found in Palestine. During those Old Testament times, the Lord sent his prophets to serve as shepherds, to bring them back into the flock. Some responded to that, came back to the Lord, whereas many did not. And then many years later, when Jesus came on the scene, the Jews were characterized as lost sheep, without a shepherd. Isaiah's statement in our text, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way," is not simply applicable to one race or nation. It applies to everybody. All races and all nations, to you and to me and all mankind. And the sins of the world are more out in the open today. That what was said and done under the darkness of night is now done in the light of day. And people are so bold to rebuke those who find fault with their perverse living and label their detractors as close-minded, bigots, and haters. Human society feels very free to do its own thing, going its own way, and even revel in it. When speaking of the straying ways of the Lord, we shouldn't deceive ourselves into thinking, well, we're without sin, we're without fault. Neither should we imagine we're not susceptible to straying away from the Lord. Please note that when Isaiah spoke these words, he was also talking about himself and you and me. All we like sheep have gone astray. Now, while the prophet Isaiah was a God-fearing man and he was very faithful in carrying out his ministry, yet he acknowledged the fact he was a sinner, just like you and me. Like all of us, we need a good shepherd to seek after us and bring us back, leading us to repentance and faith in him for his pardoning mercy. The tendency to stray is ever present with us on account of our sinful and imperfect nature that prompts us to go our own way, our own sinful way. And each time we stray in some kind of sin, it can have a dreadful outcome, separating us from the Lord. and bringing us under a fearful judgment. Were it not for our Good Shepherd bringing us back again and again into his fold, turning us to repentance and faith in him, leading us under his gracious staff of his word. Well, we have oftentimes forsaken the Lord in going astray and have deserved his wrath and punishment. The Lord has never, ever forsaken us. Paul speaks of God's faithfulness to us in these words: if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. The Lord has shown himself to be a faithful and loving shepherd who dearly cares for us and all the world. As our good shepherd, Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. And he didn't just come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he came for all others. He said, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." He's talking about you. He's talking about me, who've been brought to faith in Jesus to be a part of his sheepfold. The Gospel of Matthew gives evidence of Jesus' loving kindness and tender mercies toward the lost sheep of Israel, as we read. "When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd." Jesus' great love for the lost and condemned sheep compelled him to have mercy upon them and prompted him to take every measure to rescue them. Jesus' rescue efforts were not only in words, but also in actions. He said himself in the Gospel of John, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." A faithful shepherd is one who willingly subjects himself to life's threatening risks in order to save his sheep from harm and danger. Well, Jesus didn't simply subject himself to danger. He threw himself into the jaws of death and hell to eternally rescue us and all the world. Our text in Isaiah gives us this perspective of Jesus' efforts as the good shepherd. "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Paul writes of this in 2 Corinthians, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." God transferred all our sins on Jesus and punished him for them. And then he transferred Jesus' righteousness to us. Again, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he refers to sin as the sting of death. Sin has a terrible sting because it causes death. The prophet Ezekiel writes, "The soul who sins shall die." We know from Scripture that the stinger of sin not only causes temporal death, it can finally and eventually cause eternal and everlasting death in hell. Not wanting any of us to suffer this last and most dreadful kind of death, it was the will of the Heavenly Father to have his only begotten Son suffer the sting of death and condemnation in our place. Looking again to our text, we learn that the Father caused all the sins of the world to strike his Son to the fullest extent. He stung Jesus with a severe punishment for every sin of mankind. Because of what our Good Shepherd has suffered for us in our place, the sting of death has been removed. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has overcome sin and conquered death, we can say together with the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." A story was once told about a young Christian lad who was asked by his pastor when he first knew that all his sins had been forgiven by God in heaven. The young fellow quickly said, "When the bee stung my mother." Well, he's talking about a time when he was being chased by a bee. And he made matters worse when he tried to shoo the bee away. So he ran quickly to his mother and he hid behind his mother's apron, and she put her arms around him. And the bee landed on her arm and stung her so deeply it left the stinger in her flesh. And then she reassured her son, "You don't have to be afraid. That bee can't sting you. He's lost his stinger. So he can't sting you." And then the young man tells, well, this was Jesus. I forgot a part here. The mother went on to explain to him, in a similar manner, Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That moment of realization, the lad said, "I shall never forget it. It was all so clear then. I saw and understood for the first time what my mother had taught me for a long time, that God would not punish me because he has punished Jesus in my stead." May we ever have that simple knowledge and childlike faith, ever looking to Jesus in faith as our good shepherd who laid down his life for us sheep to bless us with life everlasting in heaven. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, "The Lord My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." Please stand for prayer. O God, Heavenly Father, you have forever demonstrated your love for us sinners, because when we were powerless to save ourselves, you had Christ die in our place. Forgive our sins for the sake of his shed blood and spare us. With confident joy we praise you, the rock of our salvation. We come before your presence with thanksgiving. O precious Savior Jesus Christ, you went the awful way of the cross because of your love for the Father and for us. We know that way was made more bearable because of the Father's promise to exalt you in heaven. Ease our load of suffering and sorrow by virtue of the love you have for us and the help of immortal glory you have given us. As you were glad to obey the will of your Father in order to save us from our sins, may we also be filled with a spirit of loving obedience that always delights in doing his will. Teach us to know our needs and shortcomings, that we may always pray to the Father in your name for every needed blessing. Teach us to recognize our sins so that we will daily confess them and find forgiveness. Teach us your new commandment, that we may learn to love one another as you love us. O Holy Spirit, you've been sent into our hearts as Jesus promised. Use our meditation upon his sufferings to deepen our understanding of divine love and to increase our appreciation of the sacrifice he made. Direct all Christian pastors to preach the crucified Savior with unswerving loyalty, and bless the pastors that bring that message to others, and may it be received in faith. Humble the self-righteous, strengthen the doubting hearts, rekindle faith that is growing cold, direct the lives of those who have started down the path of sin, awaken those who are spiritually asleep, and restore the blessed truths of Holy Scripture to those who have fallen into error. Spirit of God, apply to all our sins the precious shed blood of Jesus, that we may have perfect cleansing and be found acceptable to our Father in heaven. Keep our faith from failing. We ask all in the name of our blessed Savior Jesus, in whose name we also pray that prayer which he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Following the benediction, we'll be singing the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We sing our final hymn that's found in the bulletin. Good morning. We welcome all our guests who join us this morning. May I ask if you would please to sign our guest book on the table in the entryway. Excuse me if I cough once in a while, but I'm recovering from pneumonia, so Lord willing, I'll get back in my feet eventually. Excuse me. The choir will be practicing after the service this morning. Please note that the updated church directory can be found in the distribution boxes, and there are extra copies on the table in the entryway. I also have this letter to read to you from Pastor Thomas Schutze, to whom we extended a call to serve as our pastor. Dear members of St. Stephen Lutheran Church, after prayerful consideration and the pastoral call that you extended to me, I've been led to the decision that it is God's will that I continue serving him in my present capacity as the pastor of St. Paul and Lakewood. The spiritual welfare of God's people residing in Mountain View and environs is also important to him. It is my prayer that the Lord of the church will, according to his perfect wisdom and timing, supply you with a full-time spiritual shepherd to proclaim his pure word in your midst and lead you in his good shepherd paths. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you all. Sincerely, Pastor Thomas Schutze. In light of his return of our call to him, the president of our congregation has called for a voter call meeting for the first Sunday in April. I know that after a number of months of having calls returned, very easily to become discouraged, but apparently we have not hit upon the man that the Lord wants to send us. So we have to keep on that process of calling, and may the Lord bless it. And may God in his grace be with you always.